If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than two decades of experience with a simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelance profiles, get help drafting a job post, or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them to take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com today and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
You're locked into Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss sports podcast with Ben Garrett and Billy Embody of the Ole Miss Spirit.
Hello again, friends, and welcome inside the Riverland Roofing Studios' new Albany branch since we built out the studio on the Oxford Square. Riverland Roofing, for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. They power everything we do here at Talk of Champions and also at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, the foot of on three. Sign up today for as low as $1, and now a subscription to The Athletic comes with your subscription to the Ole Miss Spirit, and of course, Rivals will be absorbed into the Ole Miss Spirit on July 1st. So a lot of big things happening, including today as I'm talking to Ole Miss hitting coach Mike Clement, good friend of the program. Clem, how you doing, man? How we feeling?
Doing good. Doing good. This is the time of year where, I don't know, 5 years ago I would be sitting in Atlanta for the 13th day in a row, but now I'm sitting in my office. The portal adds a little different dynamic to things.
What is it like as far as just the activity of the portal? What is the day-to-day like for the coaches? Because obviously you get guys in. It's like speed dating is what Chris Beard talked about. So for y'all, like what is that on a day-to-day basis right now? How crazy is it trying to determine guys that you really want and all that kind of stuff, getting visits in? Is it kind of chaotic?
Yeah, there's an element to that. So he's right. It is speed dating. Put your best foot forward. Go as fast as you can. We eat a lot of meals. We have worn out the square. The good people of the square that allow us to come in and eat all their food. It's fast and furious, and sometimes, you know, it's multiple visits in a day. So we're going in different directions. But and then the thing in recruiting is, you don't know what's going to make the difference. And so you try to squeeze everything in, from the academics to the facilities, to the opportunity to play, to putting them in front of, if it's a hitter, putting them in front of me, and then also sitting down with Mike and laugh. And then if it's a pitcher, obviously they spend a ton of time with Joel. So it's a little bit all over the place. The good in the portal is you're recruiting for right now. So you're not recruiting the 15-year-old kid that is enamored with our uniforms and all of that. Now these guys like all of that stuff, but they want the opportunity to play. And so from an evaluation standpoint, it's a real positive, because it's, how does this guy fit on our current roster? You know, like moving in this summer. So less projection from that standpoint, depending on what their age is, than it is with the 15-year-old that doesn't have a driver's license and, you know, hair under his armpits or any of that. And so it's good from that standpoint. But, the stress, I guess, of it is if the guy says, no, you got to move on to the next one. And it is for right now, you know. And so if the 15-year-old says no, you're going to find another one and you got a couple years. And for the longest time, kids were committed to us longer than they played for us. You know, we committed them as freshmen in high school and they played for us for 3 years. This is much different than that. And you run into the same people in recruiting, right? Like we're recruiting against our league. And so, you know, it's different. It's certainly different and it's fast. And then, you know, you sit down and think, man, I don't have much going on. And then in 30 minutes, you have everything going on and feel like you can't get it done. So certainly some late nights and early mornings, but it's been good.
Well, 4 official commitments, at least publicly so far, 2 hitters in Tristan Bassetti, the outfielder from Clemson, and Daniel Pacella, the outfielder from Illinois State. We'll get into those 2 individually in just a minute. But so far, what's kind of the feel, the vibe around the offices with the coaches in terms of what y'all been able to get done so far?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been really good. And, you know, what helps is that we won 43 games and not 30. You know, that's just the truth of it. The energy around the program is back where, or at least headed back where we expect it to be. And that certainly helps in recruiting and the excitement people saw with all the fans at the regional and all of that, that's not lost on the players. So that part of it has been really positive. And, you know, I think we feel like we have a pretty solid chance to get a good baseline and a good core back from last year's team. And so a little bit different than the chaos of last summer where, you know, you felt like you were building it a little more from the ground floor, and the guys we did get back really on the pitching side had a really good opportunity to sign professionally. And so you're kind of recruiting those guys back, talking about Nichols and Maddox and Elliott and Spencer. You're kind of recruiting those guys back, as well as trying to go out and get Sanford and Humphrey and all of the Folly and those guys that had such good years for us this year. So I think to start with on the baseline, we're in a better spot with what we feel like we have a chance to get back. And, you know, the hard part from a baseball standpoint that I think is different from the other sports is the portal closes on July 2nd. And then a week and a half later is the draft. So we'll have to sweat that out too, like we always do. And you know, we had a lot of success getting older guys a year ago, and we're doing that now too. But with those guys, they're also draft eligible. And so that's the unique thing about our sport, and it always has been. But the timing of this whole thing with the portal being open while we're still playing in the postseason, then closing before the 4th of July, but the draft not happening until after the portal closes. That's how this beard is a little more gray than it is brown.
I think you look great, man. And look, you can actually grow a beard while I still at 40 years old only get prepubescent mustaches. So I don't want to hear it from you. Okay, even if it's a little gray, I'm living vicariously through your beard. So just, you know, make sure to grow that thing out like ZZ Top wise if you have to, you know, get through this whole process. But it's really interesting in regards to, you brought up a good point. Last year, part of the calculus was y'all went into the MLB draft hoping to retain guys like Hunter Elliott, Riley Maddox, Connor Spencer, Mason Nichols, and went 4-for-4 and built out the core of your pitching staff for this year. What's the plan as far as returners in the draft and who you keeping an eye on? I know Judd Utemark's one, Will Furness. Hunter Elliott's not going through the draft combine stuff like Mason Morris and a few others are. But what's just your thoughts who are y'all wanting to get back? Who are y'all talking to? I mean, there are obvious names like Will Furness and Judd, but like who all have y'all, what is kind of the plan for that similar to last year with the pitchers in the draft?
Yeah, certainly I'll start with the position players, you know, the guys that we would love to get back and that we're working hard to try to get back are Furness, Utermark, Folly. You know, those guys are important to try to get back. Obviously all had great years. I think it's less likely that Luke Hill that we get him back. I think he's going to be a really good draft. He's out at the combine or just finished up at the combine. Certainly we'll put our best foot forward there too. But I think he's got a chance to get drafted inside of the top three or four rounds, and which is awesome for him, and had a fabulous year and all of that. You know, on the pitching side, it's a little bit different just because we were so old. Obviously the big one is Hunter Elliott. So, you know, tweet at him, you know, take him out to dinner. I don't know what's legal and all of that.
At this point, yeah. Just ask for forgiveness and not permission, I think, is like
he would certainly be the best portal piece, not a portal piece, but he would be the best piece to get back that you could possibly, you know, he makes up for, you know, I don't know, probably three or four portal guys that we would get. So he would be the biggest piece. But again, he's going to have an opportunity to sign as well. And so much he knows where we stand as far as wanting him back. And I think a lot of it for him will come down to, are you ready to go and start your professional career, or do you want to give it one more go? What we'd really like is for him to come back and us win a national championship and then put another statue next to Elko.
Heck yeah.
Because he would deserve it.
He would. I mean, especially off of this year, you know, and bookend it with the national championship as a freshman when he's co-ace with Dylan DeLucia to then as a senior. Oh, that'd be an amazing story. And I think, obviously, they would have to make room right beside that Elko statue for one Hunter Elliott. But like I said, four public commitments so far, two outfielders because you're replacing his Ole Miss, not Clem, but Clem is part of this, replacing all three of your starting outfielders, filled out the outfield last year with transfers, doing it again. First, let's start with Tristan Bisseccia. Both of these guys, both Tristan and Daniel Pacella, are, like you mentioned, MLB draft risks. But with Tristan specifically, what can he be? What did y'all like about him, and what kind of players Ole Miss getting here?
Yeah, it's huge power. He's been banged up, especially this last year at Clemson. But if you go back to 2024, played in a super regional against Florida, hit a couple home runs in there. It's big power. You know, his average exit velocity is right there with Judd as far as how the ball comes off of his bat. And so he's recovering from a little injury, but certainly excited to get him. Comes from a really good family, and you know, we had our eye on him early on in the process, and probably a guy that some people overlooked only because of the injury and the lack of at bats this year. But when you dive into it, he kind of fits what we do. I think he can hit and hit for power, and I don't even think he's tapped into all of that yet. So certainly excited to get him.
Is he in a corner, or can he play like Isaac Humphrey could play all over, right? Yeah. And you just whoever the best three were, that's what y'all are going for. It's settled on Ryan Mormon in left, and Isaac in center, and Mitch in right. And y'all mixed it up a good bit as well. But yeah. Has he got positional versatility to where if he needed to be center fielder, he could, or is he strictly a corner?
I think he's a corner.
Yeah. What about Daniel Pacella, man, the outfielder from Illinois State? Obviously, Ole Miss last year got Luke Chang, the shortstop from Illinois State, started so many games for Ole Miss, was a big piece. This is a player that y'all think could possibly slide into the middle of the order, assuming, of course, that y'all can keep him from the draft, right?
Yeah, he's a big one that we had to fight all the whatever you would think the heavy hitters are in our league to get. And certainly having Chang and them having a relationship, I'm sure, helped with that. That Luke talked to him about how great it was here and the fan base and all of that. So, yeah, we'll have to battle the draft with him. But, you know, we're really excited about him. I think he's the guy who slots in right in the middle of the order, you know, and has like 50 career home runs, has been incredibly consistent from the time he stepped on campus up there to now. His numbers have held. You know, you get some of these guys who – and to their credit, develop and start off slow and have down freshman years and then get better. This guy has produced for three straight years and really special. Comes from the same hometown as Cooper Johnson, former catcher, Mundelein, Illinois, right outside of Chicago. And he's got a little bit of that Chicago toughness to him. I like everything about him. He's got a chance to be a really good one.
What else do y'all need? Because like I said, four commitments so far, publicly, at least officially. What else do y'all need as far as positionally? I know obviously y'all would like to keep adding pitching. That was like the top priority of the portal going in. But as far as an infielder, outfielder kind of standpoint, what all would y'all – I mean, y'all aren't going to turn away good players, period, right? But like what's at the top of the shopping list?
Yeah, I think we'll continue to move on pitching. you know, that's important. It obviously is what makes the world go round. And so I think we'll continue to add some pitching pieces. And then from a position player standpoint, our focus has kind of shifted a little bit to the infield. And so just get some infield depth. Obviously excited about Pano and Randall coming back and hopefully Judd coming back and Furness. And that's a good place to start. Obviously that's a good core group of guys, but we need to build out depth there with some proven guys that can play on the dirt. You know, and we feel pretty good from, we've really tried to talk to Federico about potentially playing center field. I think he's got the tools to be able to do that. And so if he goes out there and becomes a little bit more of a permanent fixture in the outfield, not that he couldn't come in and play infield, but obviously he played mostly outfield for us this past year, and maybe him taking another step from a development standpoint to move into the middle of the outfield would be key for us. So position player wise, we've set the focus a little more on the infield right now, just because of the pieces we've added in the outfield. And then, you know, you never have enough pitching, right? So we'll continue to add pieces on that side of it too.
Hayden is one of the many Ole Miss Rebels that are playing summer ball right now, and he is in the outfield on the Cape and playing in, you know, center field and really getting a feel out there. Another player that's really interesting to me as far as summer league is Ethan Surowiec, because I know when y'all signed him, y'all really liked him. And what kind of piece could he be? What are y'all looking for from him? Not just from him either, from Hayden too. Just when y'all send these guys out for summer assignments, in particular guys like Ethan and Hayden and whatever, what are y'all looking to get out of these guys? And what do you think about their work so far in the summer?
Yeah, so summer baseball has changed a little bit, you know, really over the last 6 or 7 years. Probably we sent almost everyone out 6 or 7 years ago. And it was just kind of what everybody did. You go off and play summer ball. It's what you do. Maybe hold back a couple of weekend pitchers. And now it's much less than that. You know, a lot of our guys stay here, lift, they have plenty of at bats. And so like Fed and Surowiec are different because Fed did have a lot of at bats, but was asked to go play in the Cape, and he's up there. And it's really more about, you know, a focus on the defensive side of things for him, and less about the at-bats. For Surowiec, it's the opposite of that. Didn't get a ton of at-bats this year for us, although really developed and ended up getting some at-bats late in the year. You know, he got a DH start, I think, against Auburn and a couple others. I think he's going to be a big piece. And he has some defensive versatility as well. Could play in the outfield, can play corner infield. It's huge power and is off to an awesome start up in the Northwoods League playing in Duluth. The last I looked, and it changes by the day because they play every day, but he already had 3 or 4 home runs and 40 at bats and 3 or 4 doubles. So hitting 340 or something like that. So he's off to an awesome start up there. I think he's going to be a huge piece moving forward to our offense just because, you know, in the development for him, he's a guy similar to like Kemp's trajectory, where he swung and missed a bunch in the fall inter squads, but then continued to get better through the live ABs, through the things that no one sees publicly, and really worked himself into a real option for us off the bench. And, you know, he's a guy that made the 30-man roster every weekend, I think, in SEC play, and was always on the bench and has traveled and been around. So I look for him to take a huge step forward. And the summer in the Northwoods League, where they play every single day, they play more than the Cape does. And it's a grind up there. It's almost 2 months of a minor league season, where it's long bus rides in the Midwest, as opposed to the Cape, where you're getting on a yellow dog and going 40 minutes down the Cape and then sleeping in the same bed every night. The Northwoods is not that. And so he's up there grinding it out, but that's what he needs. He needs the at-bats. Just to transition into his sophomore year. And I look for big things for him moving forward.
Now that we're kind of a couple of weeks removed from it and the season itself, successful as it was from an offensive standpoint, since Mike Clement, you're the hitting coach, set records of most home runs in a single season. I mean, there were so many good things, but for you, what's the full assessment of the offense? And now, like, what you maybe want to build out and see more of next year? What's the hard analysis of a successful year of winning 43 games of hosting a regional for the first time since 2021, falling just one run shy of hosting the first Super since 2009. Really, what was the hard analysis for you about the offense and what you loved, what you wanted to see more of? Like, what's kind of the full analysis?
Yeah, when I step back and reflect on it, and we talk about it, it was really positive. You know, what I felt 365 days ago when I look at the, like you said, the analysis of our 2024 offense, it was hard to, and this is hard for me to say as the hitting coach, but there wasn't a great identity to what we were. Mm-hmm. We hit some home runs, but it was 80 home runs, you know, so that puts you, you know, in the middle of the league. And we scored runs, but not at a good enough clip or a consistent enough clip. And so I think each year from a coaching standpoint, you have to look at what the personnel is. And obviously we recruit that personnel and we recruit to how we want to coach them. But you look at the personnel that we had coming into the fall and we needed an identity. And our identity clearly this year was to be able to slug and hit the ball out of the yard. And that was the way we scored runs. And so I'm proud of that. You know, you couldn't look at our stat sheet and take Ole Miss off it, take all the names off it, and just look at the statistics. And anybody that knows anything about baseball could just look at that stat sheet and say, well, they have a real identity. And we did. And so I was proud of that. You know, we scored more runs this past year than we did in the national championship year. And like you said, we broke a school record for home runs, and that's great. So from that standpoint, holistically, I was really proud of it. You know, we were in the top five in the league in nearly every offensive category. Whether you look overall or look at just the 30 SEC games, we were really good. And so the flip side of that is, you know, if we get Judd and Folley and Furness back, that's a good core. And I think a little bit of emphasis has to be put on, can we have more of the Federico type at bats to be able to set things up for those guys in the middle that may swing and miss a little bit. And that's a little bit of who they are. But the other thing you have to remember outside of Furness, Folley and Judd, it was really their first, not really, it was their first year in college baseball, even though they're older, of a full season's worth of at bats. And so what excites me about those guys, if we can get them back, is they'll swing and miss less just because they'd never gone through a season of 250 at bats before. And they had tremendous years. You know, they hit whatever it was, 40-some home runs combined, mid-40 home runs combined, which is huge. You know, it's the first time in school history we've had two guys in the same lineup with over 20 home runs. But obviously with those two in particular, you'd like to cut down a little bit of the swing and miss. And I think Furness will have a big year next year. You know, I think he'll walk more than he strikes out. He's a really complete hitter. And I think he'll – just like it has in his career, the home runs will continue to climb, but his ability to use the whole field. And so we got some things to work on, but I really like the baseline of where we're at.
Do you watch any of the College World Series? Cause Chris Beard loves watching basketball games. Doesn't matter what's on. He's wanting to watch if it's even his team being eliminated. Lane Kiffin says he loves to watch football. Do you watch the College World Series and see what's going on? And if so, is it LSU? I mean, I feel like LSU is just like, you know, I'm going for the Teal and Coastal. All right. I'm really been cheering hard for it. But I looked at that field and was like, dang, if Ole Miss could have gotten past Murray, man. That was a nice little setup for Omaha, Clem.
Okay. So there's a few things in here.
Here we go.
That I'm just going to speak honestly about. Number one, I'm like those other two guys, Beard and Kiffin. I love to watch it. Mm. Not everyone in our office is like that. You know, some of them are, hey, we got beat out. I can't stand to watch it. And I get that aspect of it. My wife's a little bit like that. She looks at me and is like, are you serious that you're watching this? But I don't have a ton of hobbies and I love it. And so, yeah, as much as I can around where with us recruiting and traveling and watching games and all of that, if I have time, I'm watching them for sure. And I watch it probably with a little different lens than the casual fan. The second part of that, I know that our league pounds its chest a lot on our success, and we should.
Right.
I really, really struggle to hate those teams during the season and want to beat them and then cheer for them in the postseason. So, yeah, I have a hard time being real excited to watch Arkansas win. And so I think Greg Sankey would tell me, "Hey, let's cheer for Arkansas."
LSU, Arkansas's out.
While I probably did cheer for Arkansas in the Super Regional for certain reasons, that may be the only time in 11 years of coaching at Ole Miss that I've ever cheered for Arkansas. And so, yeah, if LSU and Arkansas could have both lost the other night to go to the championship, I would have done that. And I just have a hard time. Hey, now we're out. Let's rally behind the league.
You're just like me. I never understood the obsession with, like, let's root for the SEC. No, that's not how this works. So good. I'm just glad to know that Mike Clement, Ole Miss hitting coach, is like a normal person. It's like, no, get a Coastal, go get them. You know what I mean? Come on. Because I look at that field and all I could think watching Omaha is, man, if they could have just gotten that one more, two more runs past Murray State, what a chance they would have had in Omaha to get their second national championship in program history after the one in 2022. But positive steps being taken. Mike Clement, Ole Miss hitting coach, is the man, updating us on the portal and everything that they're doing at Ole Miss baseball. Brought to you as always by Riverland Roofing, our friends at Riverland Roofing, 662-644-4297. Riverlandroofing.com. Power everything we do here at Talk of Champions and at the Ole Miss Spirit. OMSpirit.com, an affiliate of On3. Sign up today for just $1. And now subscription includes a subscription to The Athletic. Just simply sign up for the Ole Miss Spirit. The best coverage of Ole Miss sports on the internet, man. So come and check us out and hang out. Mike Clement, you're always one of my favorite people to talk to. Always willing to do it. Thank you for doing this, man. And we'll do it again.
Happy to do it.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone, all with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear Figs. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your Figs? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast, wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.